Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and today we're going to be talking about natural ways to help prevent cardiovascular problems. Today, people are still dying of cardiovascular problems after almost a century of research. Predictors include elevated blood pressure, cholesterol, and triglycerides, and pharmaceutical companies have developed chemicals to lower these numbers. But we're learning more and more about unwanted side effects of these drugs, most recently impaired memory in some patients who are taking statins to lower their cholesterol. Plus, the long-term studies leave some doubt whether artificially lowering cholesterol actually is as preventative as we had hoped. But there are natural ways to reduce these predictors, and these have only good side effects. My guest this week is Dr. Joseph Keenan, and he knows a great deal about these natural strategies. Dr. Keenan will be discussing preventative cardiac research relating to nutrition and food and ways that we can improve our family's health with some simple dietary and lifestyle changes. I want to tell you more about Dr. Joseph Keenan's background before we start. He's an MD and he's a researcher in preventative cardiology. Formerly a professor of family medicine at the University of Minnesota and the University of Minnesota School of Food Science and Nutrition. His research interest is preventive cardiology with a special interest in use of nutrition and nutritional supplements in the reduction of cardiovascular disease risk. Dr. Keenan has been awarded over $5 million in research grants and has published more than 50 scientific articles dealing with his research. He was awarded the Outstanding Service Award by the American Geriatric Society in 1995. He's presided over 150 scientific papers and national and international scientific meetings. Dr. Keenan's considered one of the leading national experts in the field of nutritional supplement research and the prevention of cardiovascular disease. Dr. Keenan's been studying how natural substances in plants help the body to handle cholesterol in a healthier, safer way, and we're going to be talking about that today. So welcome to Family First, Dr. Joseph Keenan.
Well, thank you, Randy, for that nice introduction.
Oh, you're very welcome. Just wanted people to know you have a very thorough background in the medical world and nutrition. And I wanted to start out by asking you, being an MD, my dad was an MD, how did you come to get interested in more natural ways of approaching cardiology?
Well, it's interesting. I think you mentioned your dad was sort of an exception in the medical field of having an interest in nutrition. And I think that actually is somewhat of a valid generalization. Physicians don't get a lot of training in nutrition. But I actually became interested in cardiology first and ways to reduce the risk of heart disease. And when I joined the faculty at the university, one of my first major research projects was actually a study looking at oat bran and oat cereal in reducing cholesterol and heart risk. And I'm actually kind of proud to say our research group did the definitive studies that allowed the FDA to give the first food health claim to oat products. Basically, they had to have a certain amount of soluble fiber per serving, but oat products for reducing heart disease. Prior to that, you could only make what they call structure function claims, which is this could make you healthy and so on, but you couldn't say that they had anything to do with reducing disease. So that was kind of a breakthrough. And from that point on, all of the studies that we conduct to intervene for heart problems basically have the foundation of starting with a heart-healthy diet. And as a researcher, I had to just get to know more about that. And then part of my research was interested in geriatrics, so I looked into heart-healthy diets vis-a-vis diets that are healthy for older folks, and it all just kind of took off from there.
Oh, that's delightful. I do remember when that first health claim went on the oat bran and oat cereal. It was wonderful to, and I had did not realize that you had been involved in that original research. That's quite exciting. And I know that it's made a big difference for people to realize that they can help prevent these kinds of degenerative conditions just by making a good choice of their morning cereal. So thank you for doing that.
Sure.
So you were saying that when you are working with geriatric patients or someone who might be at risk for a cardiovascular development, what are the first things that you recommend for them?
Well, the interesting thing in this research kind of dates itself in that it was back in the 80s, and we were so focused then on lowering dietary cholesterol and dietary saturated fats that we sometimes gave people the idea that these were bad foods, and that really turned out to be kind of a mistake. Because there isn't any such thing as bad food. It's really improper balances of the nutrients you should be taking. But we found when we did studies on older folks after we had given them what we thought was good heart health advice is they were reducing all of the meat and all of the dairy products because they thought of those as having cholesterol. And they ended up short of certain vitamins and iron and especially B vitamins. And zinc was another thing that was short in the diet. So we had to kind of back off of that prohibition, you might say, for anything that had cholesterol in it to trying to moderate their intake of those things. And of course, if you don't eat those foods, you end up eating a lot of carbohydrates to make up the rest of your calories. And we've come to know that's not so healthy either.
Yes, of course, that substitution has been one of the reasons people are having trouble keeping their weight in the appropriate range. Yeah, and isn't it true that the body produces its own cholesterol? It depends on, you know, what good and bad cholesterol, as we talk about.
Well, you're exactly right. Many of us, just by our genetics, have a tendency to produce too much cholesterol. And even if you're restricting your dietary cholesterol to virtually nothing, you still may have a cholesterol problem. So it's really important, I think, for a person, especially before they get into their 20s and 30s, to get a level measured of their cholesterol. We know that almost half of the population, the adult population of the United States, has cholesterol that's too high. And the most recent NHANES, which is our national health survey study, the most recent one came out showing we've made progress over the last several decades in reducing total cholesterol just by people's awareness. But to some extent, we're not quite getting to where we ought to go. We need to have better population understanding of what's healthy cholesterol and what their own cholesterol level is.
Very good. Well, that's what we're trying to do here with Family First. And so let's talk about some of the things that people can do naturally in their diet and lifestyle that can help their body process fats better and keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Sure.
Do you want to start with we talked a bit about the healthy and overdoing the milk and the meat, but not eliminating them because they give us other important things. What about the plant research you've been doing? You've been doing a whole lot on that.
This is really kind of an exciting area. I would say it's interesting in both the oat research that we did and more recently the plant sterol work that's been done. We find that there are natural ingredients in certain grains, namely soluble fiber, and natural ingredients in virtually every plant called plant sterols that can actually lower your cholesterol. Now, both of these work in a similar way by blocking the absorption of cholesterol that you eat in your diet, But more importantly, the plant sterols appear to be quite effective at blocking reabsorption of cholesterol that's in your bile. Now, most of us are not aware of the fact that there's quite a bit of cholesterol in the bile. When you eat a meal, your liver and gallbladder produce a load of digestive juices, including bile, to help digest that meal. And within that production of juices or enzymes, there's a lot of cholesterol. So if we can trap that cholesterol, not let it get back into the body, get reabsorbed, we actually have quite an effective mechanism of reducing cholesterol from our body, even though we may not have eaten any cholesterol. So it has a double benefit, if you will, of blocking whatever you've eaten in the diet. For instance, if you had breakfast of bacon and eggs, there's a certain amount of cholesterol in both of those that would ordinarily be absorbed, but by having a plant sterol in adequate quantity, you can block most of that from being absorbed.
So you might have a little bowl of oatmeal with added bran if that might help with that high cholesterol breakfast?
Yeah, the oatmeal has a similar way of trapping cholesterol in the soluble fiber. It's like a sponge, if you will. It holds onto that cholesterol in the bowel till the cholesterol gets all the way to the large intestine, and down at that level, the bacteria will metabolize the cholesterol before it can be absorbed. So it's also quite effective at blocking absorption of cholesterol.
Cool. Now the reabsorption, that seems very important, because isn't, as I understand it, some of the lower density cholesterol tends to be that cholesterol that's kind of tired in the bile. Am I right about that? The
cholesterol is carried in the body by what we call lipoproteins. Those are proteins that package the cholesterol and carry it around in the body. Now, we need cholesterol for cell membrane development. You know, all of our body's cells have some cholesterol in them. So it's not something you want to be absent of completely. It's just that we don't want to have excesses where the extra cholesterol gets deposited in plaques in our arteries. That's obviously not healthy. So the kind of cholesterol buildup that's accomplished by blocking that absorption tends to be the what we call low density lipoprotein cholesterol, or the so-called bad cholesterol. So you're right, it's actually selectively helping us reduce so-called bad cholesterol.
Awesome. That's great. Great explanation. So tell us more about the plant sterols. How do they work? You say they block the uptake and prevent reabsorption. And so tell us a little more about that.
In the intestine, fats cannot enter the body without being packaged in little transport packages called micelles. These are little packages that allow them to pass through essentially a water membrane in our bowel. Fats and water typically don't mix well. So if you've got them in these nice little packages, they can pass through and be absorbed. What the plant sterols do is they interfere with the packaging of fats and cholesterol in the body. And so we end up with the cholesterol essentially being eliminated or going to the small, to the large intestine, where it's digested by bacteria. Now, that's an important mechanism, but the nice thing is we've known from studies that it doesn't interfere with the healthy fat absorption. In other words, you have fat-soluble vitamins that you don't want to block, and you have other healthy fats that you don't want to block. So the plant sterols seem to be able to block cholesterol quite effectively, because they mimic cholesterol in their structure, but they don't seem to block to any degree the other important fats that we want to absorb.
That's great, and it just shows that something that's natural to us, we've always eaten plants, the body knows how to use it effectively. That's really neat. So the plant sterols, how safe are they?
Well, they're very safe. You know, this is where we've got quite a bit of research, over 40 studies on plant sterols, and with particular attention, and this is, as you would expect, the FDA was quite concerned that this wouldn't be safe in any, or wouldn't be unsafe in any way. But the plant sterols have been studied extensively. Now, we don't recommend that you give plant sterols to young children. First of all, they don't have cholesterol problems, but second, or if they did, they certainly could take them. But in general, we want to make sure that nothing is changing their absorption of fats and cholesterol. They're building cell membranes regularly and growing, so we don't want to interfere with that. And similarly with pregnant women. Those are two groups where we don't recommend plant sterols. But the plant sterols that occur naturally in food are, even if, let's say you had a full vegetarian diet, nothing but vegetables and fruits and grains, you would only get about 400 milligrams of plant sterols in that diet. And that's really not enough to do the job of blocking the cholesterol. So what's been developed are what we call fortified foods, or foods that have an extra function to them besides just nourishing you. They give you a health benefit. And that's been kind of the interesting story about plant sterols, is initially, because the sterol is a fat itself, the only food you could put it in would be something like margarine, where it sort of blends in and is, you know, a fat itself. But now we've got, through research and development, ways of creating plant sterols that mix very nicely with beverages or baked goods or, you know, all different sources of food. So you thereby can get a fortified food. In other words, it has more milligrams of plant sterols per serving. And you also can have foods that it would be a good complement with any meal. Well, if you're just talking about margarine, you're kind of limited to when you use margarine to get your fortified plant sterols.
Okay, well, we're coming up on our first break, Dr. Keenan, but I just want to clarify that there's nothing wrong with young kids and pregnant moms eating normal plants that have that just have natural sterols in them.
Absolutely,
right? You're just talking about
not
adding to their,
exactly,
not supplementing. Okay, well, we're up on a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about these wonderful substances in plants naturally, and who can add extra milligrams to their diets.
Okay.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Dr. Joseph Keenan, and he's a researcher in preventive cardiology and has taught at the University of Minnesota, and is considered one of the leading national experts in the field of nutritional supplementation to help prevent cardiovascular disease. So we're talking about lifestyle changes, and particularly nutritional and dietary changes that can help prevent cardiovascular problems. And Dr. Keenan was the leading researcher on the very first time that the FDA allowed food sellers to make a claim that something would actually help prevent a serious problem. So it's all about educating the public to the changes they can make that can actually keep them healthier. So I'm very excited to have Joseph Keenan as our guest today. We've been talking about plant sterols, and I wanted to talk a little more about the results of your research. You said, Dr. Keenan, that the plant sterols can reduce the, particularly the low density cholesterol. To what extent did you find in the research that it had that effect?
That's just not enough to mess with the cholesterol problem. So you really need to use a plant sterol supplement. And if you're getting 800 or more, we would recommend up to 2,000 milligrams. You get incrementally a little more benefit with the increased dose up to 2,000. After that, it really probably doesn't add much. So we don't like to see people overdosing on things like this. Then they can get into side effects and so on. But that amount will give you a very nice reduction in cholesterol. You know, we know now that a reduction of LDL by 1% reduces your risk of heart attack by about 2%. So if you think about it, that's a 20 to 30% reduction in your risk of heart attack.
That's really neat. And I like the amount of the supplementation, because I've been teaching nutrition a long time, and I always tell people that ideally your supplements to balance with other things, they shouldn't be a whole lot more than if you ate that one food all day. And so you're saying that, okay, a typical very rich vegetable diet would give you 400 milligrams, and you can double that and triple that without any negative side effects at all and get some great results. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
And so do you find that this works just for moderately elevated cholesterol, or does it offer benefits for people with real problem numbers?
Oh, this is where it actually is a very nice complement to our favorite cholesterol drug, statins. You see, the statin will reduce your liver's production of cholesterol, and the plant sterol will remove cholesterol from your system. So the combination of the two is very complementary. In fact, that's for someone who is really at risk of heart disease, or perhaps has even had a heart attack, you really want them to be on a supplement of plant sterols along with their medication. But it's excellent for people who just have moderate elevation, because then they can avoid getting on a drug. You know, a 10% reduction is probably enough for a third to half of the people with cholesterol problems to get to a close to a normal level.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Sure.
That if someone has starting to see elevation, they can bring it down and not have to go to the medications.
Right. Now, you do have to have a heart-healthy diet. I think you can overdose on high cholesterol foods and kind of neutralize the benefit, but we're talking in the context of a basic healthy diet. This adds that extra benefit of 10 to 15% reduction in LDL.
Yeah, that's such an important point. If you do have something going awry in your metabolism, extra cholesterol, you can't expect just one supplement to make all the difference. You do need to look at your total diet. So what is the FDA has allowed a health claim now for plant sterols. What is that?
Yes, that's one of the additional plants or health claims allowed. And as I mentioned, a health claim is kind of unique. That means the food not only has nutritional benefit, but it has benefit in reducing a disease. Now we know that, you know, milk, for instance, is good for your bones, but you don't get it. You can't call that a health claim by the FDA. It has to be something that reduces a disease. So that's quite unique and quite important distinction, I would say. And the FDA has made the recommendation that 800 milligrams or 0.8 grams of plant sterols, which is typically two servings of a fortified plant sterol food, that's adequate to give you a significant lowering cholesterol. So anybody who's making a, you know, any food company that's making a health claim related to their product should have at least 400 milligrams per serving in that product, and it should be something that you typically could eat twice a day.
That's really neat. So what kinds of foods these days have that added sterol?
Well, as I mentioned, research has really expanded the possibilities here. Simply as a fat, it was easy to put into margarine. But now, with this process developed by Cargill Company, they have a product called CoroWise, which is a plant sterol that is modified in such a way that it can be put in virtually anything, any food. And if you go on their website, which is CoroWise.com, there are, I think, last count, some 20 foods or so that have plant sterols, everything from orange juice to baked goods like brownies, and it's in supplements that you can take, like it's in a vitamin called Centrum Cardio. It's in a small chewable thing, vitamin supplement. You know, so you can take it with a meal, or you can, you know, if you're like me, I'm away from home quite often for many meals, and it's nice to have a portable plant sterol source.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because you may, on the road, you might not be getting your grains and your vegetables in the whole form, or be able to get the fortified foods. In addition to the plant sterols, what other kinds of recommendations do you make to people who have elevated cholesterol or other risks of cardiovascular disease?
Well, the basics are to be moderate in your overall calorie consumption so that you're not getting fat. I mean, you want weight control. So there's the calories have to be commensurate with your activity level and ideal body weight. So if a person is starting with a proper amount of calories, then we want to emphasize with them a moderate cholesterol intake. That would be less than about 300 milligrams in a day. You know, that's not hard for most people. And then the kind of fats you eat are important. We like to really avoid the trans fats. Those seem to be, if you will, the most likely to cause your cholesterol levels to go up, and to be moderate with saturated fats. Typically less than 8% of your calories would be from saturated fats. Monounsaturated fats are pretty good. In fact, that's the main fat in olive oil or canola oil is probably the next best source. And then polyunsaturated fats, we like to really, you might say, allow a little more in that regard, probably 10% monounsaturated, then probably 12, 13% in polyunsaturated fats. And those fats, we would really emphasize the omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3, as everyone knows, I think now, are the fats that come from marine sources, particularly oily fish. So that's an excellent fat, both for its cholesterol effect and triglyceride effect primarily, but also the fact that it seems to be healthy for the body in preventing inflammation. This is a nice side effect or a secondary benefit that we know now from studies of persons who have a regular intake of either fish or that supplement. Now, you can get omega-3 fatty acids from other sources besides fish. I actually have a daughter who doesn't like fish. So talking her into fish isn't going to work. But you can get them from walnuts. That's a good source of omega-3s. And canola oil actually has a fairly good amount. You can even get them from eggs, for instance, have a fairly good source of omega-3s and some meats. So, you know, when we're talking just about cholesterol reduction, sometimes we have to keep in mind that you have other good things in those sources of food as well, such as an egg.
So that's important too, that it's not just, you know, we don't eat oranges just because of the vitamin C, and we don't eat milk just because of the calcium. These are things that our bodies have learned for over millions of years to make good use of, lots of parts of them.
Sure. And I think the important thing is balance. Now, if someone bothers to, let's say, count these sources of fat, it would be nice to get at least 10% of your polyunsaturated fats from omega-3s. That tends to be the ratio that keeps inflammation, and inflammation, of course, is part of a lot of diseases, but certainly part of vascular disease. It keeps that minimized, if you will, or in a healthy balance. I've already mentioned soluble fiber. Now, oats and barley are a very good source, but there's soluble fiber in beans, there's soluble fiber in fruits with pectin, apricots and grapes and pears. Those are excellent foods. You can get soluble fiber in a supplement as well, if you want to take something that's an over-the-counter soluble fiber source. But that's also good to keep cholesterol from being absorbed in your body, any source of soluble fiber.
Yeah, that makes sense. It goes back to the old apple a day idea.
Sure.
To get that soluble fiber.
I don't think we knew about soluble fiber when we recommended that. But.
So tell us a little more about walnuts. They're very chewy. They're very satisfying. If you get them fresh, don't let them be rancid. But I think they offer antioxidants as well, right?
Yeah, I think walnuts are an excellent food. There's a good protein source. The fats in walnuts, as I mentioned, is what's called alpha-linolenic acid, and that's an omega-3, or that's one of the fats in there and a good source of it, and the antioxidants too. So, you know, that's, I think, especially for folks who are trying to avoid meats for some reason, or perhaps have a lactose intolerance and can't have milk, that's a nice source of protein and good fats and antioxidants.
Nice. And they make a nice snack for kids or for anybody.
Sure. And, I love them on my oatmeal.
Yes. I put them on my granola in the morning. All these different factors that help us lower our risk for cardiovascular disease, they all work together, right?
And that's a good way of putting it. It's a synergism of lots of things that we want to bring to bear on the risk for heart disease. And typically, we like to use whole foods, but we can't always get to where we want to go with simply whole foods. So that's the benefit of these fortified foods.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So people need to be aware of that. If they have a child that has a sweet tooth or they're eating bagels every morning on the way to work, they really need to get the soluble fiber and the omega-3 and the plant sterols some other way.
Sure, right.
Get that in there. And so that's very valuable. We're coming up on another break. It'll be our last break for the hour. But I want to come back and talk some more about other sources of nutrients that help keep our cardiovascular systems healthy. And we're talking with Joseph Keenan, who's an MD and researcher in preventative cardiology, and he's sharing some great information about how we can keep our heart and our cardiovascular systems healthy, keep our cholesterol in a healthy range, and so on. So stay tuned.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're talking about natural ways to help prevent cardiovascular problems. And we're speaking with Dr. Joseph Keenan, and he's sharing a whole lot of great information about how we can really reduce our risk of cardiovascular problems and natural ways to actually control cholesterol levels, and especially with the plant sterols. So when you see added plant sterols in the label of something you're buying, like orange juice or even muffins or margarine, that's what it is. It's a great natural substance that's in plants that helps the body manage cholesterol in a healthier way. So, Joe, we've been talking about other foods that help. We've talked about oats and grains, and that there you can get supplements and you can find foods that have sterols added. And we've been talking about the soluble fibers in beans and fruits like apples, apricots, grapes. Now, if you can you still get benefit if you drink the grape juice? Because when I was growing up, grape juice was considered really wonderful, but somehow it got replaced by sodas, I'm afraid.
You know, that's actually quite unfortunate. We didn't appreciate, I don't think, how healthy so-called Concord grape juice, or what everyone thinks of as grape juice, that has many, many excellent qualities to it, not the least of which are the antioxidants. There are so-called flavonoids, or phytochemicals in grape juice that are very potent antioxidants. We know this also from some berries, blackberries and blueberries and acai berries and so on. But the grape juice is so accessible, you know, it's just available, pour a glass and drink it. It's turned out that not only is high cholesterol bad, but oxidated cholesterol is really the worst thing. That's what goes into the artery and causes the bad lesions there. So if we can prevent oxidation of cholesterol, that's an additional benefit in preventing risk to your heart and your vascular disease. The other thing, I'll tell you, I was the moderator of an international cholesterol meeting in Singapore, and one of the presentations was very interesting. This was a dog experiment, but they gave the dog pre-treatment with Concord grape juice and another dog aspirin, and the Concord grape juice actually prevented the thrombosis, or the clot in the artery of the heart, when they artificially blocked the artery so that it would form a clot. The grape juice worked better than the aspirin, which I thought was rather amazing.
Oh, that is. That's really neat, because many times you hear that especially older people are recommended to have the aspirin, but maybe they could take some grape juice instead, or in addition maybe.
Well, I think you're right. Now, some of us have stomach problems, and aspirin, even in small amounts, can cause some gastritis. Or there's people who are allergic to aspirin. But grape juice is a wonderful supplement for, or just nutritional benefit for all kinds of reasons.
That's very cool. There's something about that can bring down blood pressure too. How does it do that?
Yeah, this is interesting. This is also something that the catechins in green and black tea will reduce your tension in the artery walls by producing something called nitric acid or nitric oxide. I'm sorry. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator. In other words, it causes your blood vessel to relax and open up. So there are certain foods and certain beverages, particularly, that are quite rich in those things and can help reduce blood pressure that way. And that, of course, is especially important for strokes, but it's easier on your heart, which is the pump that has to work against whatever pressure you have.
So that even though the vessels are relaxed, the blood can still give in the nutrients to the cells and pull the toxins out, right?
Oh, sure. Your blood pressure, almost as long as you're not passing out, the lower the better, because it's allowing your heart to work at a lower energy level while still producing good blood supply everywhere.
Very cool, and that grape juice actually has that effect as well, of increasing the nitric oxide production.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really neat. Well, I hope we can bring that back. I know with my kids, when they wanted a soda, I would give them grape juice and put a little Perrier in it to give it the spark, and they loved it.
Yeah, that's a very good concoction.
Thank you. And we also talked about walnuts and some of the other nuts that have antioxidants and the omega-3. And sometimes I see some of the more natural egg producers they advertise that they're feeding their chickens more omega-3 rich foods. And you mentioned that eggs can be a good source of omega-3
yeah,
fats.
That's right. Eggs have gotten a lot of bad bad rap. I think they're an excellent source of protein. Essentially, the whole white of the egg is pure protein. And the yolk, while it has cholesterol, is a good source of healthy fats as well.
That's great, because I think and eggs are they're inexpensive, and they're such an important source of protein. And so it's good to give them a plug. So also one of my favorite foods is salmon. In fact, we had salmon last night, wild salmon. And can you tell us about why that's viewed as such a heart-healthy food?
Well, once again, it's a great source of protein, and we all need protein for our cell maintenance. But the it's one of our best sources of omega-3 fatty acids. Salmon is so-called oily fish, and it's also delicious, as you mentioned. But that oil is or that the fat in the salmon is excellent omega-3 source. And there was just a study that was reported this past week that people that eat two helpings of fish like salmon a week have a significant lower risk of heart disease, and even more so than people that take the omega-3 fortified foods or omega-3 supplements. So there seems to be something in the fish itself, the whole food, if you will, that's especially beneficial, since that was associated with a lower risk of heart disease.
That's neat. I know my doctor, the physician, he always said, trust nature first. And when we discover there's wonderful things in a food, it's great to know the science of why that particular isolated nutrient helps, but there may be a whole lot of other good things in there. And it's a sign that we need the whole food as well when we can get it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think this has been so educational. Do you have patients yourself, or are you primarily researching these things?
Well, at the present time, I'm finishing some research that was still going on when I was at the university, but I'm almost 100% emergency room physician now.
Oh.
Which is a little different. I don't have the continuity of care with patients, but I do get a chance to see some of the complications of bad lifestyle. I get a chance to talk to them about things they might improve.
I often say that, you know, that the pathologists are probably the ones who know the most about degenerative conditions, because they see what happens in the end.
Exactly. And they have the least contact with patients.
Yes, exactly. But they learn a lot.
Yeah.
And too bad they don't get to do more more educational things like
sure.
that. So, wow, that's quite a difference between doing the research with the populations, trying different things to lower their cholesterol, and then emergency room where people are at the other end of the process.
Yeah,
so,
it's full of challenges and curveballs, but I really enjoy it.
Well, I'm sure you're helping a lot of people. I want to emphasize that there are ways that in our daily choices, affordable choices, just being aware that we can significantly reduce our risks of cardiovascular problems, which is still, I think, the second leading killer in the country.
It's the first.
Oh, first. Okay. Between strokes
no
and.
No question about it, by about twice as much as anything else. But. You know, the things we should round this out with, I think, are the importance of a healthy lifestyle in addition to diet, and that would include exercise. I think the recommendation is 30 to 45 minutes a day for 6 of the 7 days a week. Now, anything approaching that is better than wishing you had more time to do it. So I strongly urge that, because that makes so much of our body's metabolism healthier, especially the way our body handles carbohydrate and insulin. The other thing is stress management. Gosh, there's so much with stress on the East Coast right now. I just feel like we're going to have an epidemic of heart disease in a couple of months here, when these folks have been burned out from all of that storm stuff. But stress management has a real impact, not only on you might say healthy or unhealthy hormones in the body, especially adrenaline and steroids, but it also impacts our, you might say, our good behavior. The more stressed out you are, the less likely you're going to say, I'm going to get my exercise in today, I'm going to eat the right stuff, I'm going to, you know, make sure that I get a healthy meal. And it undermines a lot of our good behavior. So it's a double whammy. And then just beyond that, I think good weight management is important. That kind of goes along with exercise, but I think they deserve separate mention.
Yes, those are such important points. Thank you for sharing them. And is it true that there are spikes after an event like Superstorm Sandy, where more people do have crises in their cardiovascular?
We know, actually, if you just look at the year cycle of when heart attacks occur, they're most common in January and February. And for many people, the holiday season, is, as much as it's supposed to be happy and joyful, is quite stressful. And it appears that, plus there's an increase in respiratory infections or inflammation problems then. But and probably some... you might say it's slackening a bit on our good behavior around the holidays with respect to eating habits. But that's I think, a way to kind of gauge what lifestyle factors contribute to heart disease, because pretty regularly January and February are our highest months of heart attack rates.
Very interesting. It reminds me of a strange little story. Philadelphia Zoo is quite famous, and I'm from that area, and they had an older chimpanzee that was 54 years old, and they had a birthday party for him, and instead of giving him his regular food, they gave him cake and ice cream, and he had a heart attack within 24 hours and died. I never forgot that story. It's such an example of what we need to keep in mind.
That's poignant.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad. But I want to thank you so much for sharing so much great information, Joe. This is Dr. Joseph Keenan. And do you have any parting words for our listeners, and tell them how they can learn more about your research?
Well, I really think that the balance in lifestyle is important. Trying to make time for these things that are going to give you a long and healthy life and a good quality of life. So those would be things I'd try to strongly urge people make time for: the exercise, the time to relax, the time to go and shop for good foods and prepare good foods. The other part of this, I think, is trying to keep in mind the need for being aware of what's new, what's coming up. There's been quite a bit of new research and new change, and we really, I think, are finding that we don't want everybody on statin drugs. There are bad side effects. We don't want everybody on various other, you know, you might say simpler forms of solutions, because they tend to have side effects, or they tend to undermine, if you will, our good behavior on other things. So I am really encouraging people to start with the basics, start with what we call lifestyle foundation, and then
okay, we've run out of time, Dr. Keenan. Thank you for that wonderful summary. And can you quick give your website?
The website I would recommend is coralwise.com. That's where most of the healthy foods are. I don't have a personal website.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for being a guest on Family First. I really appreciate it. This is Dr. Joseph Keenan, specialist in cardiological prevention. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.